Hi, I'm Wendy.
I'm Lori.
And we are small business owners in Northwest Ohio. We thought we'd start a podcast. Welcome to
Hot Topics,
Cool Friends.
Episode, we have one of our favorite friends and all-time just great guy, totally talented person. He's making a face. Ryan Roth, musician and artist. Hi, Ryan.
How are you, darling?
Good, good.
How are you, darling?
I'm good, Ryan.
It's good to see you both.
Yes, good you to see too. You both. So what you been up to this week?
Laying low, recovering, getting ready. Went to the zoo with my three-year-old Matilda yesterday. Mm-hmm. And getting ready for my busy season. So this week was kind of my final week of rest and solitude.
So Ryan, for those who are just tuning in or do not know who Ryan Roth is, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, where you come from, and what you do?
The easy answer to that question, I guess, is I don't even know anymore. I'm a lot of things. I am a musician, so I am a singer-songwriter here in the area. Have been for decades. Also work with ice creations on Napoleon. So if you've seen an ice carving, a pumpkin, sand carving, wood carvings, stone, I mean bone, anything we can carve into and sculpt, we do. We do a lot of the demonstrations. So if you've seen a demonstration from Perrysburg to Bowling Green to anywhere in Toledo, we, you know, around the area, we do a lot of the festivals in the Irish Hills. And then, truthfully, our territory goes from St. Joe, Michigan, all the way up to Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, over to the Cleveland, Akron area, down to Dayton.
Whoa.
And we do a bunch of work with a bunch of great artists throughout the region. That's kind of who I am. That's where most people see me from. It's interesting when I go around to people are like, hey, aren't you that? And then they kind of like, you're the guy that, and I have to guess which one of my skill sets they know me from.
How did you realize you could even do that? Like, what was your first
all of it
inclination of the sculpting of mm-hmm. anything and the art part of your
I don't
talent?
Think that's something we gain. I think that's something we lose. I think that's something all of us are born with. If you look at any child, what's been one of the number one selling toys is Play-Doh. You know, we're built artists. We're creative. We're thoughtful. That's pounded out of us in our school system. Hmm. Some of us are just stubborn enough not to let that go, and it burns hot enough to not let that go. Hmm. Those people go on to find jobs as artists, from graphic designers to, you know, anything. There's a bunch of them standing in this room right now. Mm-hmm. Sound, audio, engineers, video people. There's all kinds of different passions that touch on that. So for me, it was more, I could never pick one. I had many opportunities to go all over musically and do stuff, but I only devote so much time to that. And then I kind of switch into different modes and go into pumpkin carving season, go into ice carving season, go into sand and wood, and I'm able to feed all those passions and not starve any of them. There's a good balance there. Mm-hmm. For me as an artist.
Well, you're incredibly talented.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah,
I saw him Saturday.
So
and he I hadn't heard two of the songs you're playing, those originals.
Yeah.
And I was like, Ryan, that was really good. He goes, I'm really glad you're happy about the 0-8 relationship status.
Oh, yeah.
But
0-8,
he's
out of
an
a slump.
Excellent writer.
Yeah, I enjoy writing. It allows me to kind of speak on some things mm-hmm. that, you know, experience-wise that I go through and have gone through. It's my filter that way when I songwrite. There's two different approaches to it, and then there's more of a prophetic way that I look at it too. Mm-hmm. And so it's those kind of songs.
And then you've been heading out with the sideshow. Tell us who all is in the sideshow, because they're I love them.
It's a rambling group of misfits. I designed the sideshow as that. Just what I do musically, I lay a pretty solid foundation down for anybody to come on and play and sing. with that Craig James Ackerman out of Wauseon has been with me for like a decade. We met at a songwriter competition, and I was like, man, I really like this guy's voice because it sounds nothing beautifully. You know, like it doesn't sound like a normal singer should. It's just real and raw, and he's a heck of a songwriter. And asked him what he was doing that weekend. I said, I had a gig. If you want to come sit in and play some songs and see if we can't match up together. And we hit it off right away. From there, there's a guy up in Milford, Michigan, who will join us from time to time, Brett Moby. I met him up there in my travels, and he became a brother and just real cool dude. I actually talk to that dude every day. And this summer, the kid joined the band. Ash joined the band. Ash is my 17-year-old kid who's been quietly in the corner for over a decade watching some of the area's best songwriters, poets, and artists do what they do. Before they could ever play an instrument, was in the corner working on the timing, working on what to do, and just absorbing all that in. So now it's become, truthfully, one of my favorite writers. Like, I'm amazed by what the kid's putting out musically and doing. And the kid plays like 7 instruments, all better than I ever will. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Is working on their album right now. I think one song remains, but is tracking all of the orchestration and string arrangements, piano arrangements, ooh, guitar, doing the drum tracks. It's impressive. I'm 47 now, and I'm nowhere near that ability, you know, as much as I want to be. And to see my kid doing it, it's one of the coolest things.
That
so.
Is awesome.
Yeah.
So that makes up the core group of the sideshow. But we literally are, for the most part, open to anybody that joins us. And we like matching up with a bunch of different bands, so we team up from time to time.
You think we could hear a song?
So, yeah, I could probably do that. Well, perhaps I wasn't clear enough the other night when I told you to wait for it. See, I was setting up my leap of faith, and as I planted, I stumbled and I tripped. For a man of many words that flow with ease, well, there's something in the way. Of all these eloquent adjectives and verbiage that somehow I can't say. Like, now I've been dribbling here for hours, just watching the second slowly fall from the clock. And my lane has finally opened up, and it looks like I'm free to take my shot. But I'm 0 for my last 7, and I'm losing all the confidence and faith. Just to leave my feet and release it to the heavens and let it fall just where it may. And I'm swinging for the fence here, knowing you're out of my league. And I'm trying to make a connection, making sure I ain't got nothing left to leave. But a runner's gonna gamble, and a fighter's gonna give it his best shot. I'm riding a streak here, hell, I'm trying to swing myself out of a slump. Well,
here's the windup from the stretch. Here's the pitch. Hold on, we got ourselves a ball. Well, the batter never saw a fastball like, hey, darling, wanna go and take a walk? That's why I'm stuck here in Toledo in the minors, relegated to the pen. But I'll lace them up tomorrow and work on my heater, and I'll get at it again. Cause I'm swinging for the fence here, knowing you're out of my league. And I'm trying to make a connection, making sure I ain't got nothing left to leave. But a runner's gonna gamble, and this fighter's gonna give it his best shot. I'm riding a streak here while trying to swing myself out of a slump. Well, perhaps I wasn't clear enough the other night when I told you to wait for it.
Ryan, that was fabulous. I already knew it, though.
But I didn't.
Think the world needs to.
I didn't.
That was the first time.
But
that was the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
It's a fun little ditty.
So when did you, I know you told me, I asked you this before, when was the first time you picked up, was it a guitar that you, the first instrument you picked up as a kid?
I started on piano, actually.
That's right.
Took a couple lessons, but it was a guitar. And honestly, I picked it up rather late. I grew up, my parents were in a 50s and 60s cover band, so my front room had every instrument you could possibly need, because that's where they had practices. But I would just go in there most of the time and just put music on, throw the PA on with a mic and work on vocals. Just because I didn't know really what I was doing. I've never taken lessons real well. I'm more hands-on. I just got to figure it out on my own. So it was about like 17, 18, I finally picked up a guitar seriously and learned some blues chords and some folk songs. And I was trained as a young man through the folk lineage. It was old Woody Guthrie records and everything from the Lomax records to, you know, up through the modern singer-songwriters. My mom was more of a rocker, so then that's where, like, a lot of the Queen influence and stuff like that came through. So it was always just a big, wide range of musical influences. And played bass. My first cover band I ever played in was a Korn, Misfits, and Deftones cover band I played bass in.
Oh.
Mostly because I had a PA, and they needed a PA. I was horrible at playing bass.
Korn. All right. All right. Ryan, tell us about what your role is with the zoo and what's coming up. And is it starting in September or October? Or
all year long,
okay.
We do stuff there, truthfully. Ice Creations has a great relationship with the zoo and has for like 25-plus years, I want to say. We get to do a lot there throughout the year. So if we'll start the clock here. In the next few weeks, we'll be finishing the new additions to their fall displays and going in September, setting up all those silhouettes of animals with pumpkins on them that glow at night.
Cool.
All of the huts and houses, and we bring in all the pumpkins. We set up all that stuff. So that takes us a couple weeks to do in September to kick off their zoo to do and then their fall fest. Then we go into Little Boo on the Zoo, which is that four-day event where they're all 4 days carving for their stuff, doing demos, talking to kids. It's cool as heck.
It's fabulous.
Did some chalk drawings last week or 2 weeks ago for their art walk that they do.
I know we should have, lots of ideas.
We're getting lots of ideas.
We need a carbonized sculpture and paint some stuff.
Yeah, and then we get into October. And October's crazy. I'll be everywhere from Holland, Michigan down to around Columbus again. probably have 500 pumpkins carved by the end of the year. That's that's truthfully low. Last year I did over 1,000, but a lot of those were foam for those.
How long does it take approximately to carve? Obviously, they're all different depending on what you're carving, but around about how long?
If I'm doing letters or logos and stuff like that, I'm looking at like a half hour, 40 minutes, give or take the detail.
Do you ever start it out as being one thing and you mess up so it then has to turn into something else?
We don't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. We just make happy accidents.
There you go.
Bob Ross.
A long time ago as a child. Yes is the answer. A lot of times in ice, yeah. And that's the thing. Like me as an artist, I've learned that what I do is very, in this moment, it's very temporary. It's a lot of what I do is moving and changing as I'm doing it. I mean, we're talking about a pumpkin that the moment I cut into it begins to soften, rot, depending on its own condition before I get to it. So in that, I've got some things to account for, some wiggle room. There's things I'm trying and intent that I have, but you can't force anything that doesn't want to work. So you've got to be able to give and take with that and be able to go with it. Same thing in the ice. We'll be trying something and a certain seam won't work, or different things as we're building it won't work. The temperatures are too warm. I mean, as an ice carver, I can tell you global warming is real and it has changed the temperatures 10 degrees in this area.
Really?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I've had one snowfall last year.
That's true.
I had four days of cold weather that were freezing temperatures that I could carve in. Fortunately, I carved that tribute to Andrew over that week.
And
that was the
that.
Only week we had cold week.
It was really cold that
day.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not lost on me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've been chasing cold weather. We go all the way up, like I said, to Sault Ste. Marie and around Alpena, and we do Frankenmuth. We do all these, you know, winter festivals. And the last 4 to 5 years, we've been really, really chasing cold temperatures.
Hmm.
So in that, as an artist and as somebody that's doing these events and putting these events on and trying to serve a client, trying to serve a sponsor, trying to serve the public, trying to serve, you know, it's there's a
tricky.
Lot to take in into those accounts. And how do you put on a show as an artist? Mm-hmm. How can I get the best out of it when I know that these are worst case scenarios? It's 45 degrees and sunny.
Right. Like poor little Frosty the Snowman, you know.
UV light will destroy ice in a matter of minutes. Like mm-hmm. Over the years, it's given me the chance to talk to people about science and talk about what water is, truthfully.
You'd be a great teacher, actually. I could see it.
I don't enjoy it in the structure of a school system, but I definitely enjoy hands-on. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love what I do with these demos and why, you know, Matt's good at it at the shop.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have kind of gotten really good over the years of just kind of trying to birth that same thing into, you know.
You see the
spark in those kids.
Right.
And, man, it's cool.
Pass on the passion.
Yeah, where there's always a couple of them at every event that hang out. And the parents are like, well, you want to go see this? And they're like, actually, I just kind of want to just sit here and watch this. This is cool. And that's the kid I know that's going to go actually create something in this world. Not be a manufacturer, but be a creator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's cool to interact with those and to kind of keep that cycle go.
Yeah, I noticed that too about the young bands that will come out and watch the band. You know, they're watching you.
Yeah.
And you have some of them, they'll watch a song and then they go gallivanting around. But you have those other ones that are looking at what kind of, you know, board you're using, where things are plugged in, what you're doing with the song. And you can tell that that's the artist that's really going to stick with music.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, with my own kid, I was very hands off. I didn't want to influence Ash musically. Wanted Ash to find that path on his own, you know. Because you do, especially a kid like that, that you rebel against your parents a little bit. You push back against. You see the connection, but you don't want to be like. The last thing I want is Ash to be like me. You know what I mean? And it was cool to see shows I wasn't at like Minglewood and Robot Mama and some of these other Freight Street out of BG, to see their posts and then look at the picture and see my kid standing in the front row at their show, just like.
That's awesome.
Right. Like, oh, good. They're
on their own doing their own thing.
They're doing their thing. You know, they're out there learning it and seeing then now the fruit of that with Ash playing sets on his own and being able to
and
stand out.
I think it matters because, like, in our family, we were all musicians except Joey. And he was like, I'm like, well, Joey, don't you want to take guitar? Don't you want to do this, that? He's like, no. You all already do that. I'm going to do my own thing. However, all of a sudden, one day I wake up and he's like, well, but it was his decision.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now
yeah.
he plays saxophone. He plays bass. He plays drums. He plays guitar. He sings great. And I'm like, but it was his.
Mm-hmm.
With my daughters, they, you know, here, you can sing. Let's take singing lessons. Mm-hmm. Let's do this. Let's do that. And it was like, you know, now they're getting burned out where, you know, it's still Bella's passion, but.
Yeah.
Joey decided on his own.
Yep.
This is
that's
for
the different,
me.
Yeah.
And it is totally different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I dive into some of your personal life?
Oh,
do,
yeah.
Yeah, we can do that.
I don't
can
like
we
to
do,
make him look
I Well, no, because I really don't know anything other than what I see and how when we talk briefly.
I am an enigma.
He is an enigma.
But so have you, have a son. Have you ever been married?
I have. I was married for 12 years. A lot of people don't know this. I have four kids. Mm-hmm. Eli's my oldest. He's 19. Second year at UT pre-med. Truthfully, this kid has been an adult since he was 2 years old. He sat at the adult table, had adult conversations, did not want to play with other kids unless he was taking care of other kids.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the kind of kid who at like 10 was already in the nursery taking care of babies and toddlers. Like, just he's
natural caregiver.
He's a good kid, great heart, smart as heck. Like, he's built for this construct of society that we've built, and he understands it. He's able to move through. He's still got the youth experience, you know, inexperience, but he's got a good head on his shoulders. He ran a Rudy's hot dog for like 2 years in college while he was going to high school and still pulled a 4.3 and, you know,
nice.
Like just,
oh, wow. mm-hmm.
just, he can handle a lot, man. He's been through a lot, seen a lot, you know, single mom, divorced parents, going back and forth. Like he grew up quick and took care of his younger, you know, siblings. Ash is a 17-year-old. We've talked about Ash. Ash is cool. Ash is a lot like me. I can brag. I can talk all day long. Ash is probably the one that's most public, you know, so Ash is the one that gets a lot of that attention. But then there's Nora, who's 14, will be 15 in a couple months, freshman at Notre Dame. Nora's finding her way right now. Like, and that's, it's cool to see her growing up and coming into this age. She's at a, as a parent and as a man who's been around almost 50 years now, seeing a kid this day, what the TikTok generation or whatever this version of kid is, it's an alien entity to me as a human being. It is so different than anything else I've seen in history.
It's trouble.
And I study ancient history all the way back to the Sumerians, you know?
Yeah,
so, I know. It is very, very.
So it's a weird phenomenon that is this. But then I sit here and think, every formidable year of this child as she grew up was in COVID and in isolation and cut off from friends. Their only things was, their only connection was this phone. And they're so tied to that. It's weird. Like, it's foreign to me. I don't understand a lot of it, but a lot of it is just basic human nature. And as a parent, you try to guide them through that, you know. And I told Nora the other day when we were school shopping, I said, you know, this is honestly my first, truly my first, like, high school daughter with Ash being trans.
Right.
And so that experience is so foreign. Like, Ash
the whole
was a
shopping
dude. Ash, Ash and I were, high school was music and religion talks and all kinds of, you know, it was a podcast for me. Nora's experience is so much different. Junior high was so much different. I mean, it's, she's gone every weekend with a group of girlfriends going all over, you know, and trying to wrangle that one in, and
the friends can get tricky. Yeah.
And I'm a rambler. Like, I'm a storyteller. Like, let's sit down and talk about this. She's a 15 characters in and out You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah, you got
because their conversations were grown in that.
You got
that
10
was the
seconds.
Petri dish that that organism was grown in. Mm-hmm. Was a you got this amount of time, and the comeback you're getting is a pre-programmed comeback.
That's true. Okay, Dad. Yes,
it's a tick.
Whatever.
Uh huh. You know, and you're like, okay, but we need to.
Right.
You know, so it's interesting. It's fun to navigate. She's a good kid. She's got a great heart. I'm not worried about a lot of that. It's going to be fun watching her grow and find her way. Like, she's got her own interests, and hearing her start to express that when it's not what your brother's, sister's, mom, or dad are telling you that, hey, try this, try that, try you could do this. No, maybe I want to do this. And it's none of that. And you're like, okay, then cool. Let's do that. Let's figure that out. And then I've got Matilda.
Yes, Matilda.
Who is, I've got this little 3.5-year-old spitfire. Oh, my God.
It's a fun age.
Yeah. And she's smart as heck. We were just talking yesterday. We're going to aim at homeschooling her. Mm-hmm. There's some cool programs in the area that you can do a lot of nature work, that you can do a lot of education and experimental learning and, you know, hands-on learning kind of stuff in the area.
Yeah, I think if I had young kids in today's society, I would homeschool.
Honestly, had we not gotten divorced, my ex-wife and I were always kind of talking about that or trying to do a lot of that. Even my brother lives in Bangkok, and like they homeschooled their three. Like it just, and he's a teacher.
I just think
in an international school.
Yeah, it takes a certain person. You can't.
I know
just,
you made a face, but you know,
because my
it's
husband's
okay.
the best third grade teacher in the world.
No, and that's it.
But yeah,
no,
that's
but
it.
When I said I was going to homeschool my kid, she looked like.
When I see the general product that they're putting out,
like, not everybody can do it. Is what I'm saying. Ryan would rock it. I could.
I can rock some subjects.
Yep.
A little weak in the math area.
Oh yeah, you know. But
construct.
Why do we? What do we even use?
But they'll get a good history lesson and some good art lesson. You know, yeah. Some science going on.
Yeah, science is awesome.
Science and the arts and history are the three keys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But,
I like history.
You did like history.
I can teach everything but math.
The thing is, everybody actually likes history. Mm-hmm. It's storytelling.
Right.
It's how you really
it's
learn.
Who's telling
it's how
it,
we
yeah.
we interact with our world. It's how. I mean, for at least 10,000 years before we started writing stuff down, we were speaking stuff and information got passed along that way, truthfully, you know. So yeah, it wasn't until the Sumerians started pounding stuff in clay cuneiform that we started writing it down. And they wrote it down for tax purposes and work related stuff. When you look at those manuscripts, it's all work related.
He's so smart,
I know,
too.
I know. He's like an enigma.
I told you. This is why Ryan can't do 20-minute podcasts. Every podcast I've done, they're like, we got an hour. And then they get to the hour and they're like, so this is going to be a two-parter. And I'm like, yeah, I knew that was coming. It takes you normally a half an hour to warm up and go, wait, what? And then that's fine. And that's why we joke around with me and the group of guys that I hang around with, which you know most of them. And I would rather be... a legend and fame, you know, truthfully, like I don't chase fame. I don't chase anything. I chase the experience of life. We share a lot of cool moments in this area. There's so much there's a lot we can crap on about where we live. You can do that anywhere in the world. I've been all over this country doing what I do and the locals do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this place is beautiful.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And it's the filter you look at and you look through. And there's a lot of cool experiences to have. And I'm very shy, truthfully. I mean, I know I'm loud and boisterous and I make a lot of noise doing what I do. And it draws a lot of attention. But anxiety is real, you know, and I try to hide out. So most people, and it's the joke, who is Ryan Roth? We've been joking with this T-shirt coming out, like, who the F is Ryan Roth? Just because everybody has heard of me, but my interactions with people are so little. I come and go.
Right.
And again,
well, that's why I
not,
said, like, I don't really
so many,
I know you. I know, I know who you are.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, personal things about you.
Yeah. I mean,
you know, I know what you do, and that's what you're known for.
spent 20 years in retail management, running multi-million dollar companies. I spent time in a pulpit. I've spent time digging ditches. I've spent time, you know what I mean? Like,
you figured out what you didn't want to do, and now you're doing what you want to
and
do.
It's not even that I wouldn't do, like, I didn't mind doing any of them, but there's so many different things in this world to experience and so many different things to do, and what's next? I don't know. Let's build a farm and raise goats. Let's learn how to homestead. Let's learn how, you know, and that's...
I kind of wanted to
do that. He does have
goats,
right? How many goats?
I have four.
Four goats. Oh. And none of them are feigning? I always want you to have a Can we get a feigning goat in there? I don't understand.
I mean, yeah.
What's that?
They're the little tiny goats, and they faint.
Oh, my gosh.
They're so high wound, they can't even take a boo.
They can't.
Why would you want a fainting goat?
Well, Google it.
I know, but then that would... Well, it's hilarious, but I thought it's not funny for the
goat. For the same reason women in L.A. like small dogs.
I don't feel like they are minding it.
I want a little puppy that's smaller than the one I got.
Listen, I got a small
dog. I got scammed.
Yeah, the same reason every girl in L.A. is walking around with a purse with a small dog in it under their arm.
Well, I would put my dog... In
your purse?
Yeah.
She would fit in your purse.
But here's the thing. I was scammed on my dog, on our puppy, because it was supposed to be a miniature Aussie doodle. And it is not miniature at all.
Yeah. Anyway.
It is not. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, yeah. No.
So I always say I want a small
dog.
But I don't think I want a feigning. A feigning.
They're tiny and they're cute. They bounce around.
And you scare it, and it
Well,
faints.
You don't have to scare it, but it does faint when it's startled, right? Or whatever the thing is.
And it just falls over?
Yeah, boom.
I've got a Nigerian and some Nubian.
Yeah, I'm sure his goat. We're going to go visit
PJ's
your goat.
Cool.
Let's do a video podcast at Ryan's house.
Hey, you're welcome.
Char's, that would be cool.
Char's doing a great job out there caring for the goats.
No,
we're going to expand on that over the next couple of years.
I know. I want
to add some chickens.
Chickens and eggs. You got eggs? Did you bring eggs with you?
My tiny house? No.
I want a tiny house.
I want to get some with them little them guinea hens.
Yeah.
You want a tiny house?
I do. I want
like the tiny ones you see on TV?
Yes. I want my own little tiny house. I will love everybody in my house, and I love it, but I also want to go to my tiny house and be alone.
Like a fort?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You really like a hideout. You really don't need much space once the kids are gone.
No.
Well, if they come back like all five of Wendy's did.
Oh, no, they're not allowed back. If they want to come back, they can go off grid. There's tents.
You know, it's funny that you say that.
Or get a tiny house.
No, I'm kidding. I'll build them tiny houses too.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I was raised, and my dad said, always make sure when you move out, you're ready to move out because this is not a revolving door. And he was, so I made sure I was ready.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I don't know, is it?
I don't know if he would let me come back.
I know he would. I know your dad. And he'd be like, of course you can move
back. Still to this day.
Yeah,
you know,
so we have to ask Ryan our question. We didn't prep him.
Which
is good. I don't like giving him the heads up as to what the question is.
So, yeah, I got to say, walking into a podcast with you two, as a man who does everything I do with no, hey, we're going to target this. We're going to focus on this.
Leaves me
spending like most of my morning going, all right, so if we go this way with it, I need to talk about this. If we need to talk. Like,
well, you know, you wake up at what time? 5:30?
5:30 in the morning.
To meditate. So you had time this morning to meditate.
That's.
However.
Yes, I was ready to go.
We didn't let you know, but we would like to know from you why you are our cool friend.
See, it's not that.
It's kind of easy.
It's easy.
No, it's not easy because I don't know why I'm your cool friend. I know I know who your friends are. Like, I know the people that, I know our community. I wouldn't consider myself the cool one.
Well, we think you're cool.
I would consider myself the slimy one.
Stop it.
No, I think you're so cool. Like, you're Ryan Roth.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. I hear
like
that a lot. I hear like, oh, you're Ryan Roth.
Yeah.
Must be cool to be Ryan Roth. Oh, it's so cool. You're this artist who gets to go around. No. Like, it's not cool. Like,
that's because you're in your own head.
That's because you're
you. You don't know how cool you are. And that's okay. That's why. That's
I have
makes
two
you cool.
baby mamas and four kids.
But, you know, that could be cool.
It's cool when I'm with the kids.
Yeah.
And not
it's
dealing.
It's not cool when you got to
well,
be
when you're trying. No, not even. It's not even the child support. I don't like. It's not even that.
Okay.
It's juggling.
Yeah.
Three lives. Not even three lives, but three separate universes with the lives inside those universes. So I've got one over here. Mm-hmm. I've got one over here. And then my own that I'm trying to maintain and even have any self-care for at all. But my main priority is those kids. Mm-hmm. So they're always getting juggled. Yeah. One of the two moms is always going, hey, I need help with this. I need help with that. Can we get this? Yep. Meanwhile, I'm going, crap, I got to be here for this. I got to go do this. I got this, and then my own. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. It's tiring as hell. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's, oh, we do. We have lots of universes. I like that analogy. That's very good. See, it's, that's cool. You're just cool.
But no, and that's what people don't talk about a lot in when you have divorced families. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of gripe, and it's the way we communicate in general in this society. Everybody wants to
go off
on a tangent. But yeah, you're trying to out-trauma the trauma you're hearing about. You're trying to outdo. We're trying to one-up each other in our crappiness. Mm-hmm. And it's just this vicious cycle. And no, you know, instead of going, okay, wait, okay, we need to stop here.
Yeah, just be nice.
What's the priority here? What mm-hmm. are we figuring out? What are we figuring out? So mm-hmm. in that, we never really talk about that with the divorced families. We never, there's a lot, and you see it every day spilling out on people's social medias.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's, mm-hmm. everybody's hurting. Everybody's looking for help. Everybody out there's like, I'm doing this alone right now. Mm-hmm. But that's being ramped up. That's being, look what month it is, look what year it is, and look what's going on in our political system. So that's being, that energy is being channeled and focused on, and that is very high right now. That is something you have to be conscious of. It is something you have to be aware of and shed yourself of. And that, my dear, is what the Stay Slimy is about.
And that's what makes him our
and
cool friend.
That's what, and perfect.
No,
perfect.
in a world of decay mm-hmm. and mud that is being just dropped on from every level of the forest ecosystem onto you as you crawl your way through this, it's best to stay slimy so the crap don't stick.
Right.
I love it. I'm going to
be slimy.
That's where the snails and the snails, like, and that's where that came in is like, and we have to be mindful of that. And we allow that stuff to stick to us and cling to us. And we're walking around carrying it on so many different mm-hmm. levels. If that's the way we're going about, it's no wonder we're having the struggles we are.
Yeah. Right.
So yeah, why am I your cool friend? I don't know, because I don't carry attachments, I guess.
It's perfect. So if anybody wants to find, you know, where Ryan's playing, what's the best way, or what, you know, what's happening with you, what's the best way to find that?
Honestly, if you're looking for me, you can find me on social media. Facebook. I'm on Instagram mm-hmm. and Facebook.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. R2 in the Sideshow on the Instagram side. I tend to post most of my artwork to that. Facebook side, I really don't do an artist page and a personal page. I am what I am. Okay. So if you can get in, come on in. Mm-hmm. But it's out there. My work's out there.
Sweet.
So
yeah, will you come back?
Oh yeah, we can come back.
Yes,
we can come back. Sweet. Well, thank you, Ryan.
Thank
it was
you.
Great.
Thank you, guys.
We always love seeing you.
Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate
Keep
you.
Up the good work.
Ditto.
Thank you for joining us today on Hot Topics Cool Friends. I'm Lori.
And I'm Wendy.
We would like to give a special thanks to
Chris Piper, our executive producer,
and Gary Wagner, who wrote and produced our music.
If you guys have any questions or comments and you want to listen to more of these wonderful episodes, head on over to wgte.org/coolfriends or anywhere you stream your podcast.
And remember
to thank your local business owner
and go out and hear a local musician.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.